This week, the federal government released a series of online educational videos aimed at teaching students from Year 10 to Year 12 about consent. The videos published on the Good Society website as part of the government's Respect Matters program have been widely criticised by education experts and rape prevention advocates. We're joined by the director of the Youth Research Centre at Melbourne Graduate School of Education, Helen Cahill, to talk about the response and how we should actually be teaching our teenagers about consent. Helen, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
It's a pleasure. Thanks, Willie.
Now, the federal government's new consent education videos have been critiqued this week as too vague, as skirting around the issues of consent through metaphors like milkshakes and tacos. What was your initial reaction to the videos?
Well, my reaction was that they very widely missed the mark, because if there's one thing we know about good prevention education, particularly in the area of gender-based violence, is that we have to be able to name the behaviours that are not appropriate. So what is the person doing to another that should not be happening without their permission? So they didn't name the behaviours. They actually didn't even show very realistic behaviours.
Yes.
They showed quite unrealistic situations.
Oh, my God, that's such a great point. That's such a great point, because my next question is, how do you feel the videos represented the kind of scenarios that 16 to 18-year-olds might find themselves in? And they might find themselves in having a drink with someone somewhere. But, what other scenarios might the 16 to 18-year-olds find themselves in that deals with consent?
Well, for a start, you have to make the learning useful for young people. It has to be on scenarios that are more in their everyday world, things that they may actually experience. So it's pretty hard to imagine that people want to waste their precious milkshake by smearing it on someone else's face in any world. Even perhaps a toddler wouldn't be drawn to do that. So what would have been more appropriate is to show a realistic scenario taking place either in a social situation where young people are socialising without adult supervision, or in even a place like a schoolyard where, again, they're without as much supervision, and the more everyday forms of harassment that could be going on that people need to be able to speak up against or report if they're observing it, or help seek about. And it has to be clear that the person who's perpetrating the inappropriate action has to know what it is that was inappropriate and why that was inappropriate.
What do you think has led to such a disconnect between the video's purpose and their reception? Because there has been widespread confusion about them.
I think it's actually quite easy to understand the disconnect in some ways, because as a society, we have generally avoided teaching and speaking openly and transparently with young people about their evolving intimate relationships. So because also we have, as a society, had quite a big taboo on talking about sexual harassment, sexual assault and rape, we've been very silenced about these issues. People are uncomfortable. They don't know how to open, honest, straightforward talk. So they tend to evade the issue. But it's this evasion that contributes to the ongoing feeling of shame that comes on victims, because it leads them to believe somehow it's their fault, whereas it's not their fault. It's this silencing that leads to that feeling. So we need to be able to be more upfront and honest and take on speaking directly with young people about real things that might happen in everyday life.
You've had extensive experience researching and modelling respectful relationship training. What have you found is the most effective way to teach young people about consent and respectful relationships?
Well, for a start, it needs to occur in a much broader context. It's really unfortunate to be singled out as consent education. It's much better to think about it in broader education for positive social relationships,
okay,
where you understand not only your rights and your responsibilities towards others, but you also develop your skills to interact well with others, and also your skills to give peer support, to help seek in troubling situations. And we also need to have a general awareness raising about the way different social norms around gender can lead people to either start to pick up inappropriate behaviours, either to impress others or because they think they're entitled, and lead others to feel they have to put up with it, that it's somehow their role to just take it and let it happen to them. So we need to do work on gender norms. But then we most importantly, we find that providing young people with scenarios that show kind of like little stories of things that could happen, which they discuss together in groups around, you know, what's happening here, how might it make the person feel, what's going wrong, what could peers do, who are observing, what could the affected person do to intervene, who else could be of assistance. These kind of questions lead people into the social conversations that they need to be able to have with each other if they're actually to help each other to manage these situations when they're away from adults and away from caregivers who can intervene.
Yeah, when they're by themselves and they need to handle the situation by themselves. Helen, I could talk to you all morning. It sounds like you've got some fabulous experience there and some really great, interesting points this morning. Unfortunately, we've run out of time. Thank you so much for joining us.
It's a pleasure.